Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. After Jesus had preached probably his most famous sermon, I think it's the 7th chapter of Matthew, he said that if man would hear these words and do them, then I'd liken him unto a man that built his house upon the rock. So there was more than just hearing. There was a hearing and a connecting, placing them in your life. They're important to put them in your life. And the promise of that was, is that all the storms could come, no matter what it was, no matter how big it was, this house would stand. And I am more and more convinced in my life, in my experience, that our connection with Christ is the victory. And I believe it's easy for us sometimes to get away from that connection and not realize that we're away from the connection, because there's other things that's presented close by that'll allow us to think that I'm connected in there. And this is not a message today in any way trying to assume that somebody should be rebellious about something. It's not a rebellion. It's a connection with Christ. You can't connect with me and have a connect. It does not give you a connection with Christ. No minister has ever been elevated to the place that your connection with them gives you a connection with Christ. Peter denied that. Paul denied that. The apostles went along denying that. You cannot get a connection with Christ because you connect with me. You have to connect with Jesus Christ. There isn't any place in the plan of God. Jesus came to be the go-between between mankind and God. He did not make a go-between between the go-between and a go-between between the go-between. There is no go-between. There is no need for a go-between. There is no place given for a go-between. The go-between between us and God is Jesus Christ. And there is only one go-between. A affiliation, and this isn't a message on rebellion, so there is no direct, this isn't a place to where you can say, I am a part of the Church of God, I'm a member of the Church of God. If you truly are, you're the connected. But being a part of the assembly doesn't make you connected. There's some that will think, as long as I go to do the dictates or the standards or the way of the church, then I'm therefore connected. That's not the connection. The connection is with Christ, and all of these things then become an obedience to his will. This is what the Lord is presenting. This is what we have. He wants to give us his fullness, and therefore, I believe that the scriptures bear this out. If I live for Jesus and I walk in the light and you do, we'll have fellowship with one another, but we can't create the fellowship. Men try to. And if you get a big enough dog that makes everybody obey, you can have a lot of things done, but you can't have a true fellowship by somebody making you do it. But if there's a real heartfelt experience with the Lord to where I say, Lord, I want to be connected to you, then it takes care of all of the other things. And again, I want to restate that. Just being in the fold, if you will, or in the position to come to service or be a regular churchgoer or all of those things does not equivalent a connection with Christ. You can do those things without it, is what I'm saying. But if you have a connection with Christ, it'll compel you to do all of the other things. Not only will you do them, you'll do them with the joy of your heart. It'll do because you want to. We sang a song, one of the first songs we sang. I love to tell the story. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of the songs in our books and a lot of things that I love to tell the story. But when we sing something, we're kind of people that are pretty literal about scriptures. And to sing in the spirit and singing to worship God in spirit and truth means something. And when we sing a song, it ought to mean truth. I love to tell a story. How much storytelling have I been telling? Well, now, if you love to do it, it's not like somebody's going to call you up and say, would you please tell the story? Come on, get busy. You ain't been telling a story. You're not going to have your pastor prodding and probing at you. You're not going to have the... If you love to tell the story, you know, one thing I've noticed is that it's pretty easy to understand when you get around people. It's pretty easy within a short time to really find out what their passion is. If you come along somebody and the first thing he says, have you had your boat out? Boy, I've been on the lake the last few days, and you get a big lump. It's pretty easy to know this fellow is a fisherman and he has a passion for fishing. And if you go quite a long time without Jesus being mentioned, well, then you figure. But I'm saying if a young man gets a heart for a girl, he'll find a way to mention her name. You ever notice that? He'll find a way to slip her in. And a young girl likes a guy, and it won't be long. Somehow it'll slip that name in there, or something will come up, or there'll be something, because that's where the heart and the mind is. And the song said, I love to tell the story. And I'll be honest with you, I'm challenged sometimes. There have been times in my life that it was my passion. It's what I wanted to do. But after, there is times that I find myself that I've not been interested in the story much. Well, it's only an indicator of the connection. You know, when Jesus really does something special for me, you know what the first thing I do? I go tell my wife. If something happens, it's at that. The first thing, I want somebody to know, hey, this, you look what just happened. What God just done. And then before I want to tell somebody else, somebody else calls, I'll say, you know what the Lord done for me? This is something special. I want to tell you what the Lord done for me. But we need to be connected to Christ. You're not too young, you're not too old. There's no position in life that you can't be connected with God. There are certain places of callings. There are certain places of whether God will have you in a position of authority, maybe, or a position of being seen, a notability, or you'll never be, or none of that matters. Everyone needs a connection with the Lord. You know what a minister's job really is? No, it's not connecting with me. And no, don't call me up and ask a lot of questions. You know what my answer to most people that says, what should I do? You know what my answer is? I'm just going to tell you so you'll know right off. My answer is I don't know. And the reason why that's a good pat answer is because it's a real honest answer. I don't know what you're supposed to do in life. God didn't give me the calling of knowing what everybody's supposed to do. And when somebody calls me up, you know what I usually say to them? I don't know, but I know the one that knows, and I'll be willing to join myself with you to pray to the one that knows until he reveals this answer to you. But you need a connection to where you can pray and get the answer, because I'm not always around to pray for it. I feel confident that I've prayed and had God the answer. And I feel like if I need something, I still have the confidence to feel like I can go to the Lord and I'll get that answer in some way. May it be through a message, through a song, may it be through a natural event. Some way I'm going to know what the Lord wants me to do. And I feel confident enough that I can pray for you, and if you pray too, you can get the answer too. But don't expect me to know the answer. I don't know whether you should move or buy the new car or a different house. It's not my realms. I don't know. But we need to have a connection with the Lord to where we're confident that God is alive. You know, most Christians that speak of God act like he's not alive. Where is he at and what's he doing? Is he ever looking down? Live my life just like there's no God at all? But the secret, I believe, to the victory of our life, all the victory of our lives, is the connection that we have with Christ. When we have a good connection with the Lord, then all of these things are within our realms. We don't have to be of the future if we're connected to Christ. Or if you do, you tell me what. Why would I have to fear the future if I'm connected with Christ? When Jesus was in the boat, you remember when the sea was tumultuous and the things around and the disciples, the greatest lesson of that was is that they could not perish in a ship that Jesus was in. Can a ship sink with Jesus in it? Can you lose your life as a son of God? Can harm come to you as a son of God and God say, oops, I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry, but I missed that one. I mean, to us to believe that God is really God and he is really alive and he's really real will change the way we perceive life. Now things look like it's falling down. Okay, the country is going in a negative way. The things are happening around in our world. I admit to all of it. But I'm on the ship. And the ship's not going down. Don't matter how rough it is out there, the ship's not going down. If I'm connected, I cannot go down. Now there's a scripture I want to get to. Main scripture I wanted to look at. Very familiar. 15th chapter of John. Jesus starts out and says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He didn't say, I'm just the vine. Could have had the same meaning, except for the word true in there is a word that had to stir your mind to say if there's a true vine, there must be a false one. Or it doesn't have to be a false one. When Jesus said, I am the true vine, he no doubt was alluding to the fact that there was many false ones. I am in the idea of a vine. The vine is what carries all the nutrients, the influence, the encouragement. What did I say? Is what brings the strength and power for the branches to produce fruit. The ultimate goal is the fruit. And of life. And so Jesus is saying, there is many vines that's going to produce many fruit. But I am the true one. I am the true one, and there's many false ones. Maybe even alluding to the old Pharisaical religious ideas. They no doubt was vines. They no doubt had influences into people's lives. They no doubt impacted people. And they no doubt had fruit at the end of the branches because of it. There was something that was always produced by them. But I would say in the world today that I could probably come up with many what we would call false vines that's influencing fruit to the end of the people's branches that's not really the true vine. I want to tell you again that we are not to anchor ourselves in human wisdom and ability. It's a false vine. It's a false hope. It's a false choice. Jesus even said, or the Bible said in one place, that the deceitfulness of riches. You know what? It's a false vine. It makes promises. It bears fruit to the end of the thing. It says it's going to do anything, but it's a lie. It never does what it says it'll do. It claims that it can make you happy. You know, everybody says, hey, give me a big bunch of money, and boy, I'm setting good here. But I got all that I need to have. When you get all of that, what you find out is that does not fulfill your soul. It does not make you happy. It doesn't make your family richer. It doesn't make your wife better. It doesn't make anything better. It's just it's a lie. It's a deceitfulness of riches. And it's a vine, but it's a false one. many people look to something organization to be that for them. A lot of ways it's laziness and it's indifference, but as long as I can come in and feel good about mine and somebody pat me on the back and say, you're doing it right, I write your name down somewhere or something and you got it right and you're okay, then I can go live the life the way I want, any way I want to. That's a false vine. It produces fruit from people, but it's the wrong one. And there's many in this world of entertainments and everything that people look at and say, I need something. I need something to help me in life. I need something to, who doesn't want to be fulfilled? Isn't the whole search of life, I mean, for us, is I want to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. That's why I do the things that I do, trying to fulfill myself. You know how many of those let you down at the end of life? And there's nothing left there? But how many times there is a man or men that's put in the place of trying to fulfill something they can't fulfill? You know what the minister's job is? It's to encourage you to connect with Christ. I can't save you. I can't encourage you. And there's not one prayer you'll ever pray that I answer. There's nothing. Nothing. Without me, he says in this time, without me, you can do nothing. You know exactly what we accomplish without being connected with him? Is a big nothing. That's all that you ever do. That's why any minister, whether he's salt, will always point the soul to Christ. Hook with Christ. Hook with Christ today. That's going to be your salvation. That's going to be your encouragement. That's going to be your hope. Everything that when this world's falling down around you and you look around and other people scared and shaking and all that, and you're going to look and say, encourage me. And I'm going to be running and saying, encourage yourself. It's all I can do to get enough courage for me. But there's enough courage for me. And when you know Christ, there's enough courage for you too. And the thing about it is what do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night and the devil all over you and you can't get a hold of anybody else and that one that you depended on ain't there no more? There's one that's always dependable there. There's one that's always in reach. He's just a heart feel away. He's right there close. They said over in Acts that it was so close that he said you can feel after him. He's so close you can tell him the blind man can grope and get him. He's so close. And when those kind of times come, Jesus is ready and well, and he's there. I love the story of Stephen because get contact with Jesus. Who was standing on the right hand of God encouraging him? It wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the other friend. It wasn't the one that preached. It wasn't the one that brought. It was Jesus standing there. And when he looked, there's Jesus. I'm ready to go. Nothing can get me now. Jesus is standing there on the right hand. I love the impression because to me, all of these words mean something. And when Jesus was standing, it had been different if he'd been sitting. Oh, I know he's still powerful, but that speaks something. Standing at alert. Standing is paying attention. Standing is looking. When I look and see Jesus standing there, it means he's ready to do what needs to be done. On guard and ready. Do you know that Stephen's connection, not with the early morning church, he was a part of it because he was born into it. It's wonderful. I ain't talking rebellion today. I'm talking about the reality that it wasn't the bride. He was the bride. It was the groom. It was Jesus. It was Jesus that he needed at the time, and it was Jesus there to answer his prayer. Will be in our lives a lot of presentations of false vines to our lives. Things that will promise to us something that'll be good for this life and good for the next one. That'll be something that is supposed to be the epitome of it all. That'll be a given to us that if I follow this, it'll make me happy above happy. But you know what I find out? The delusions that's in the false vines. And it'll take people all the way down, and always it leaves them crumbled and broken with nothing left. And I'll just say this to you. I'm not supposing that everything around is evil, but I'll say this to you. These things that you anchor your heart to, the vines that you have, that influences and produces the fruit of my life, they'll dry up. There was a man, I've told this story many times, but I met a man. It was in the UVA Medical Center, University of Virginia Medical Center. And I got to know a number of nurses and people that worked at the hospital and was good friends with them. And they know that I like to laugh and I was lighthearted and I like fun. And there was another guy there that they just said, you got to meet him. And he was from West Virginia too. And so we had so much in common. They just said, we want you to meet this guy. And he was a patient there, had been a patient there. And he had had cancer, and it had went in remission for some years, and he was back at the hospital because his cancer had come back. And they wanted me to meet him, so I went to meet him, and sure enough, he was such a fun guy. We had an incredible time, and so it got to the point that I asked him, so how's it going with you? A serious moment. There were few, but this was a serious moment. How is it going with you? This was the first time I'd met him, and he simply blew it off and said, I beat it before, and I'll beat it again. Well, there ain't much more to say after that. I hope you do, that kind of thing. Pray for you or whatever. The man was as passionate as a fisherman as I've ever seen. He loved to take his grandchildren out on the boat and fish, and he would talk fishing just endlessly. And the weeks and months went by, and his condition worsened. It worsened and worsened. Until the day that I walk into the hospital in the cancer ward and the hall is full of crying people. And I asked the nurse what's going on, and the nurse told me, said, it's come to the time that the doctors have told him, you basically have hours of life. There's nothing we can do. We've exhausted our abilities. The vine is dried up. It promised. It made promises, but I can't deliver to you. And I noted this. I'm telling you, I got under a burden. I got under such a burden for this man, and I begged the Lord, Lord, give me something. Touch him. Help me to be able to visit him and make a difference at the end of his life. And I got the opportunity before he died to go into his room. And he laid there, me trying to talk to him, with a look looking up, and he would not talk to me. I couldn't get him to talk to me. He had a kind of an angry look on his face, and he looked up into that. And I sat there trying to open up to him and try to get him to pray, and he would not, never did respond to any of that. And the realization come to me of the emptiness. I'm not against fishing. Listen, I fish too. I enjoy what God made and what God did. I enjoy that. But what he anchored his heart on, there was no reserve. There was nothing left. What are you going to do when you're about to leave this world? Do you think honestly he was sitting there saying, I wish I could cast one more good cast? Or get one? It's useless and it's meaningless at this point. And all the thing that he put endless energy and things to, the vine that he hooked his life to, that promised him, that kept telling me, you're happy doing this. It's fulfilling to you. No doubt many Sunday afternoons it was. Very fulfilling. But there come a time. There come a time that he called on it. Please give me the joy. Please bring back the happiness. Give me something. And he laid there with tears running down his eyes. And he passed from this earth not long after that. And the vine was worthless, folks. That's an empty, dry vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I will not leave you hopeless at the end of your life. I'm not going to leave you without anything. I'm going to tell you, things like that will. Entertainments like that will. Sporting events, all sporting events. I love to tell the story. I was out in Oklahoma one day, turned the radio on, and had this, this was fascinating, but had this thing on, and the announcers were saying, yeah, I said, it's a sea of maroon or whatever the color was and out here, and this was 9 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, oh yeah, this is a Saturday here in the fall here. This is probably they're talking about an OU football game. They were talking about an OU football game, and they said the parking lots are full and they're tailgating and all this, and was giving a report out there. And I thought, yeah, there's a football game here in a little bit at noon. And the guy ends up doing the report and said, well, we'll be back at kickoff at 6 o'clock. This is 9 o'clock in the morning, and the people are sitting there waiting. I mean, they're 9 hours ahead of the game out there waiting for the game. And I was sitting there thinking, man, you talk about passion? How many times people go 9 hours sitting waiting for the services to start? 9 minutes. 9 minutes. I mean, passion. I'm going to tell you what ultimately happens. I've seen it over and over and over. It's a passion. It's a desire. Winning and the excitement of it. And guess what happens more times? Do you know how many hundred and so many major schools in football? Guess how many winners there is at the end? Just one. And everybody else's vines cracked on them. Everybody else is crying. And we, oh, heartache and hurt and this, and we didn't, we thought we could, all this kind of stuff. Jesus said, I am the true vine. He didn't promise there wasn't going to be disappointing, but he told us that there'd be strength and courage, and that vine, what comes through this vine, is going to make the fruit on the end. Maybe a little disappointment, maybe a little strain, maybe a little drought, all of that. But if you go through this vine, the fruit's going to be good at the end. And you're going to have something at the end of this thing. Powerful. And it's going to be glorious. And you know what? When this body starts failing, and it is. But when it starts running down and these things starts happening, he's still picking it up. Jesus is still making something out of it. Bearing fruit in your old age. Still bearing fruit. The tree's old, but it's still making something. It's being hooked to the Jesus. Folks, you can't get it any other way. There's so many false things and false ideas, and we get this and think this is going to make it happy and it's going to do this. And it's a fraud. It's a fake. It will not do it. It'll let you down at the end of it. And I have seen the righteous die. I have seen those that love the Lord that have died. I want to tell you, there's a glory in that. And you can know they're hooked to a vine's the power that they got to do that. I remember my dear old grandma, such an inspiration to me. Loved the Lord with all her heart. You want to talk about the Lord? Go to my grandma's house. I'm telling you, you did not go to my grandma's house. You say, I love to tell the story. You didn't go to grandma's house, Harley. She was going to tell you about Jesus. She's going to talk something about it. And I remember when the Lord come down to her last day, and the Lord was with her, and I remember the peace that she had, and this was the expression. I always thought, Lord, help me. She said, Marty, I'm tired. I want to go home. I'm ready to go home. Such victory had followed her from being connected to the Lord. She wasn't claiming being connected to anything else. I have a relationship with Jesus. Lord, the Lord has blessed me and helped me and been there for me in my life. He talks to me in the night. He encourages me with something. He's there for me. That's a reality. That's a reality. I heard these words of the Sermon on the Mount. I heard these things, and I put them into my life. And now I'm like a man that builds his house, and the storm and all these things come, but my house ain't going to be moved because I got a connection, a real connection with the Lord Jesus. It isn't about the religious notes. Oh, Lord, help us. We live in a religious world, and that's kind of the idea that people get. I'm going to turn over a new leaf and be a good person and start going to church. Great. I say good. Get started. But if there's truth there, they're going to point you to Jesus Christ. Get connected with him. And it's not going to be all this about give me your money. Let me rule over you. Let me do all this stuff. Trying to make time. It's going to be, you. If you get Jesus, brother, he'll get the Holy Ghost. He'll lead and guide you. And you don't need me. You know what? True pastors go and what they get thrilled the most out of? It's when a congregational member that just needs you there praying and they call and all that, and all of a sudden they testify on Wednesday night, I got this and all that, and I prayed and the Lord helped me and didn't even call you. Well, I ain't very important. That's right. You ain't very important. Jesus is important. You don't, all we are doing is pointing you to the relationship with the Lord. And the Lord did make it to where we have a union together and we're to edify. We edify one another. We're members together. Do you know that there is no big I's and little U's? There is nobody greater or better in the kingdom. It's Jesus reigning and the rest of us are brethren. What a novel idea, but it's still the truth. It was the truth back then, and it's the truth now. It takes the Lord, and anybody that's serious about it and really working for the Lord is pointing people to Jesus. And you know what you can do when you got Jesus? You remember that Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes? And there was a man there that was possessed to the point they called him Legion. Remember the story? They couldn't chain this guy and hold him down. They tried all this stuff and he'd break the chains and he'd cut himself and he was a wild man. And they was afraid of him and there was nothing they could do about it. And along comes Jesus and instantly commanded the situation. That's our Jesus. He commands it all. All principalities and powers and wickedness, diseases, all that's under Jesus' control. And you remember what happened at the end of the story? The man sat and clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And he wants to go with Jesus because that's his heart. You know, the way we think about things a lot of times is, yeah, we better take him with us because he needs me so much. He'll never make it without me. He got Jesus, he's got it. Jesus left him there and said, go witness. Jesus wasn't afraid to leave him in the hands of the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you that. He wasn't afraid to leave him with what he had because he knows what he had is the true vine. You get connected with the true vine and stay with the true vine, and nothing can take you out of there. No trick of the devil can get you. Nothing will wear you down or wear you out. There's nothing that the world can do. That there is no storm that can muster up big enough to take the house down of the man that builds it on the rock. There's nothing that can happen. And so we want to encourage everyone, learn to pray and get answers. And that way, and you say, I've got an impression to move to Texas. What do you think, brother? I don't know. I ain't been praying about it. If the Lord would have wanted me to know, he'd have come and told me, and he didn't. And he is not as likely to as you think. Because he wants to deal with you. And when you come and I know you're in that place and you say, the Lord's dealing with me, I'll say, brother, I'll jump in there and pray for your success. And God bless you wherever you go. And you can go to foreign missions or go to wherever you go. And you can go with the confidence that Jesus is with me. And then what does it matter? Oh, Lord, help us to realize that there's more in this experience of serving the Lord than just being a part of a group like we are. I know it's a wonderful thing. God wants us to unite together. He wants us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, but that isn't our salvation. Our salvation is our connection with this true vine. And if I'm not connected with this true vine, it's going to crumble. It's going to dry up. And there may be all kinds of different fruit come from the influences and powers that are out there that's pumping and giving that, but it won't be the right thing. And I want to say this. Don't allow yourself to think that you're bigger than you are. You'll say, oh, devil's got some imitations that'll make you think. Y'all remember the Jim Jones incident? I think me and a brother was talking about that the other day. Jim Jones. It's an amazing story of how a group of people can go so far. Went so far in delusion and believing in a person and putting their faith and confidence into something that was so far off and line by line Just a little here, a little there, a little warming, a little going, a little going, a further and further and further. Those people went all in, all the way in to drinking the Kool-Aid. They drunk the poison. They took the poison into their life. The ones that had smaller children literally killed their children before they went, all because of somebody that was not the true vine. They were a false vine. They were a fake vine. There was destruction at the end of that, and heartache and awfulness at the end of ugliness. The devil was in that, and the devil is in all false vines. So when Jesus simply makes this statement, he didn't say, I'm just the vine, I am the true vine. All the other vines of religion, this old Pharisaical way, that's false vine. You can get in there and go with that, but it's going to leave you dry and empty at the end of it. Nothing there. But I am the true vine. The right nourishment, the right nutrition, the influence of Jesus Christ going into your life. And what's the fruit going to be? It's going to be holiness. It's going to be righteousness. It's going to be patience. It's going to be faith in God. It's going to be truth. It's going to be the valuable things that I'm going to tell you. It's going to, that influence will hold relationships together. It will hold us together in hard times. It will make us have a balance, an unbelievable balance in our congregations, because we're not a facade of fellowship. I am not faking you out when I give my testimony. And when you say amen to it, you know what I'm talking about, because you walked in that step too. You know the same Lord that answered my prayer, and you say, yes, that's him. I know that's him. He's answering that, and he's true, and he's giving the true inspiration and the truth into our lives. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and they're not of evil. We can question that sometimes by the things in life, but we know when we're connected to the vine and we've experienced Jesus, we know even though the evil day comes, we know his intention is not evil. That is meant to make me better somewhere along the line. And there's the faith that I can have to say that I know all things work together for good. I know that, even though it don't look like it, because I know the one that said it. And I'm hooked to that vine, and that's what the Lord is going to do. I am the true vine, 15th chapter of John. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Here we go. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's exactly how much we're going to accomplish if we're not hooked to the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing. I will say, there is a connection when branches are connected to the vine, and it's a bad vine, it's going to have fruit. It's just going to be bad fruit. I'm very interested in grafting of trees, and it's a very interesting concept of grafting, because when you graft on a vine, whatever goes through that vine is what the fruit will be. It's amazing. You take a Golden Delicious and put it on a crab apple, and whatever passes through that vine, that stem of the Golden Delicious, will be Golden Delicious. Whatever grows below it will be crab apple. But if it goes through that vine, it's going to turn the fruit good. Jesus is saying, you're going to graft us in. You're going to graft us into his vine. And when he grafts into his vine, you're not going to be like the old anymore. You're going to be changed from what was old. When you go back to the original and start coming out, you're going to be a crab apple again. If you don't go through that vine, you're going to be a crab apple. That's what he's saying. Without me, you can do nothing. You're not going to be able to do this on your own. You're not going to end up at the end of it forcing your way, making your way, saying those kinds of things. You're going to have to be hooked to the Lord. Do you know that our number one goal is not to become something in the Lord? It's to be connected with the Lord. And then he'll make it. I don't have to fight and say, well, I'm going to try to be something special for the Lord. I'm going to try to be the best preacher I can ever be. I'm going to make the best missionary, or I'm going to practice singing. I'm going to do that. The goal is the connection with the Lord. And when you get connected with the Lord, the leadership of the Lord will lead you into the things that you need to do. I'm not saying you won't have to work at it, but it takes the Lord to put you in there to do it. And the Lord wants to do that. He wants us to hook to that vine. Without me, you can do nothing. There's another scripture that says, through Christ, can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So what a testimony of ability. What's he talking about, all things? Well, all means all. All means is all. What Brother Samuels is saying, but I'm not saying it's necessarily all in a physical sense here. He's talking about the spiritual realms and what we can do spiritually. I can't save myself, and I can't change my nature, and I can't change my attitude, and I can't change all these things that's too big for me, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can stand up to what I need to stand up to, and I can humble myself down to what I need to humble myself down to. I can stand in the holiness of God, God's holiness, but I can't do it by myself. But Jesus can give us grace to be able to be what we should be in any circumstance. And this is what I'll tell you. The warning is, it's not hooking up to Christ. You can be in a situation of being religious. And you can go through the religious functions of dress and of all of the things that make you look orthodox to what it's supposed to be. But you can't make yourself stand up with the power that you need in the crisis. And you can't make yourself forgive when you need to forgive. And you can't make yourself overcome your attitudes when the attitudes are starting to apply. And you can't do that, and religion won't do it for you. But Christ can do it for you. And being hooked to him, you can have the power to overcome these things. I want to look at another scripture that kind of fits in. Or in my mind, I had some connection with a scripture in 2 Corinthians 7th chapter. And I'm going to try to get on with it. The seventh chapter starts off. 2 Corinthians 7 starts off by saying, having therefore these promises. And these promises are listed up here in the last verses of this sixth chapter that says, 16th verse, and that agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell, this is a promise, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a connection. That's the promise of what God will do in the connection. I will be their God. What a marvelous thing to think about as I go through this life, that the God of the universe, the God of all creation, you think about important, oh, I want to meet the president, or I want to meet somebody important. This is the God of the universe. And he's promised to be our God. He's promised to pay attention. He's promised to be there as a father. Promises go on. Therefore, come out of her, among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And what did he say? And I will receive you. You know what that is? That's the connection. Come out of those things, and I'll connect with you. You got to have a connection with Christ. Oh, I promote everywhere I go. And I am so convinced that this is right, that I can do it as boldly as I want to. And when somebody looks at me and says something in an uplifting way to me, I can't do a thing for you. It's Jesus. I only have a calling that the Lord gave me. That's all it is. And the calling is to point you to have a relationship with the Savior, the one that can give you everything you need. Then there's another promise, he says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is the adoption. Going to take you. There's a connection. You'll be a son. So then he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now that is a challenge to me. But it has to start with the connection. There is a perfecting of holiness. And you know what the perfecting is? It's a perfecting of the mind and the spirit. And it's where it says there in Philippians about having this mind in you. Having this mind. The mind of Christ. That when these things arise in my life, I don't think like the old Marty thought. I think the way Jesus thinks. That's the perfecting of holiness, is when we go just from the duty bound, I'm doing these things, into a more perfect way of thinking in the way he thinks. And now I see this situation, and where I would have condemned, you know how easy it is to be a condemner? And Jesus told his disciples when they said, you want us to call fire down? You're not thinking the way I think. I'm thinking different than that. Was there ever any times that Jesus laid it down? Yeah, there was. And there'll be places where we do too. There was places of injustice, and there was places of falseness and stuff that Jesus laid it down. Jesus, or Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, laid it down to them Jews. But he had the mind of Christ. Perfecting holiness is a place to where we're giving ourselves over. Lord, help me in my connection with you to take on your thought process. And now when I look at things, I see them differently. I see when I need to have compassion and pity and mercy. And I see when I need to be strong to stand against. I see this in the fear of God and love the way Jesus loved. If you do these words of mine, he said, if you connect, if you do them, you've got to do them. Another scripture said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you add, incorporate these things into your life, you will never fall. This was a connection. You don't get these just because you want them. You get these because you connect to the living Savior. And you take on his spirit, and you take that away, and then you're connected, and you got power to overcome these things. We'll leave with you just expression. I am the true vine, Jesus said. Ask yourself the question. Nobody else can ask it, only you. What vines am I connected to? What are influencing my pattern? I'm just going to tell you an experience. Make myself vulnerable, tell you an experience. Back before the last election, I was watching some election news on the internet, some election stuff. And they had a little news clip. I think it was on a Fox News thing. And they showed a certain senator on there that always kind of irked me. I'm just telling you the truth. It just always kind of riled me. And he said something, and immediately I had the strongest thought. I wish that guy was off the scene. And the Lord reproved me and said, I don't think like that. And I immediately backed up and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I need help when I involve myself into that. Or maybe I better be careful involving what vine I'm hooking myself to. Because Jesus said, I am the true vine. And when you get connected with the true vine, you're going to see things in the true pattern. So I'll leave this with you today. What vines am I hooked to? What is the influencing the fruit of my life? Amen. You pray for me.